I'm really excited for our next guest because before we even popped the mics on, stories were coming out like crazy, and I loved it. Our community game changer for the month of March joins us here inside the ESPN Ithaca studios. That's Danny Akers, who has devoted so much time, as we learned from your friend Jim Zifchok, to GIAC and the boxing community, and you've trained who knows how many youngsters and, you know, amateur boxers and people who love the sport. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But first of all, thank you so much for dropping in here.
You're very welcome. That's my pleasure.
We received a wonderful nomination from Jim Zifchok, who knows you very well. And he says that you've been involved with GIAC for many, many years, 30 plus years. You can be found there year round. What is your involvement with GIAC, and how did that begin?
Well, actually, I got started at the Southside Community Center in 1970 under Reverend Cunningham and Brother Saunders. I was there for 2 years, and then we relocated. Chet Cashman relocated to the GIEC in 1972, and I've basically been there ever since.
At what point did you realize that boxing was the sport for you and something that you wanted to put a lot of your passion in your life into? Do you remember what that inspiration was?
Probably Muhammad Ali and that era, the late 60s and early 70s, pretty much.
Do you remember what specifically? Was there a moment or a match, one of his matches, that kind of just completely shifted that for you?
He did fight on my birthday, yeah. That was his last fight before they stripped him of his title on March 22nd, 1967. But that wasn't it. I don't know. I just got the bug, liked the combat. It was a little different back then. There was no concussion protocol. There was nothing. They didn't even talk about it back then. Matter of fact, I probably had a concussion every night when I was at the South Side because I had a headache every night, and I thought it was normal because I was sparring with older adults, 18-year-olds when I was 13, you know. But I just kept on going, and I'm still here. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Is there anything that you can remember from your youth that has maybe helped you mold those that you work with today? Anything from your youth that you kind of still instill upon those who are learning under you right now?
Well, actually, I work with what works for them. I don't make them to be a fighter like I fought, like a slugger. I like them to box more than slug, actually, because of the concussions and dangers. I like them to hit and not get hit.
It's pretty wild. We were talking before we came on the air here that you actually got to know Joe Frazier and know him pretty personally. What did you take away from experiences like those with larger-than-life boxers such as Joe Frazier? And are there ever times where you, I don't know, say to a student of boxing, hey, do it this way. Joe Frazier used to do it this way. Try it this way. Has that ever come up in your training before?
Well, when there's individuals who will benefit off of Frazier's style, yes. There's one I'm working with now, an 18-year-old. That's the way Frazier did it. He was a fond believer of getting it done, you know, fighting until it's him or the other guy.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like I say, I'd rather have him hit and not get hit. But some of them are natural Frazier build, and yes, I do.
How many kids around these parts do you think you've worked with?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. I've been doing it for 41 years. I can't remember. I can't remember most of them. Naturally, you remember the ones that are talented and successful. But there's so many of them I can't remember. Sometimes they just all of a sudden pop in my head. An individual. When I'm sitting in the gym waiting for people to get there, I just go into a meditation, and they just pop up.
There's probably been a moment for you, though, where you know, somebody's kind of come up to you and said, hey, remember me. And
yes.
Maybe they tell you how much of an influence that you had on their life. What is that like? And I'm safely assuming, like I said, there have been examples of that. Can you share one or two?
Absolutely. It's totally rewarding. I had a featherweight, a junior lightweight, who was a Cornell student who was a law student, actually, and he's got a law firm in Manhattan, and he keeps in touch. But he tells me if it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be where he was. You know, stuff like that. Of course, it's gratitude, but I just got into it, and I don't know how to get out, to tell the truth. I'm sure Chet Cashman would still be doing this if he didn't get ill and pass on. I don't know what else to do or what I would do if I weren't doing this.
Danny Akers is with us here on BTL, our Community Game Changer of the Month. You mentioned Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, some of those guys, you know, were larger than life who had that sort of impact. But locally here, who were some of those people who made an impact on your life?
Chet Cashman, definitely, and yeah. Reverend Cunningham, and Brother Saunders, and Bummer Henry, and all them guys that fought back then, you know, that I looked up to, Leland Jones. When you're young like that and you look up to them, you know, it gives you drive. And back then, mind you, when we had a newspaper, they used to put you in there, your pictures. And now, for some reason, the only way you put you in there is if you're in an orange jumpsuit. It's terrible. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
It was so different back then.
Even, you know, small fry football, they put your name in there, and I give the whole description. You know, when you're young like that, it helps you, you know, instead of having nothing. You know, like today, I don't know what happened. Well, I guess when the newspaper moved, everything else moved with it.
I always talk to a lot of the college coaches around here. So many times the coaches are talking about how things have evolved from, you know, where they were even 10 years ago. But some of the longevity sort of coaches, if you will, you know, they'll talk about how things were a couple of decades ago to where they are now. How have you maybe seen that with some of those that you're training, things that have maybe changed from where they were to where they are now?
Well, it's hard to explain. That's how times change things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You just don't get the younger ones anymore. I think it's because, like I mentioned, the concussions. And back then there wasn't any concussions, and so everybody was, the gym was more full with younger kids. Now I don't have the younger ones so much. I have more Cornell students.
And that's interesting that they come down, and this is a draw for them. What is it like working with them in particular, considering that I'm sure a lot of them aren't necessarily from around these parts specifically, right?
Well, none of them from around here. It's like being a scholastic coach, actually, you know, because you have them and then they go. You grow to begin to like them and then they fly off. I just had one kid, Sang Kim. He just won the NCAAs in Lexington, Virginia in 2023. I had him and I had another kid that came in second. And nothing was said. And I even emailed the Cornell Daily Sun and gave the scripture of the whole thing. And they didn't even put it in there. It's for whatever reason, I don't know. But, you know, they're interesting because they come from all over. And they totally appreciate it. And I keep in touch with most of them guys, which is rewarding.
I believe it. You were nominated by Jim Zivchak, who a lot of people around here know him. He says in some of this that you have selflessly volunteered an untold thousands of hours over the past 30 years and that you work with the local youths in the GAC boxing program. You've been an unbelievable asset to the community, devoting your time to the GAC program Mondays through Fridays. You can be found there year-round. When you hear those kind of words from somebody who respects you the way that they do, what does a nomination like this mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to me personally, but that's not why I do it. I do it because I do it. I don't know what happened. I got stuck down there. Yeah, you know, I basically do it naturally for myself, but I try to keep Chet Cashman going, you know. That's sort of my where I get my ambition from, to not let that Chet Cashman boxing club, which he established in 72, I don't know what would happen if I didn't do it anymore, to tell the truth.
Not to get wildly off subject, but there probably are people who are transplants, if you will, into Ithaca over the last decade and a half, 2 decades or so, who may not know that name. Can you dive a little bit deeper into who he is and the impact that he's had?
He's the founder. Like I say, I went from Southside Community Center to the Greater Ithaca Activity Center. What Chet founded that, he worked his fingers to the bones to get that thing going, and he built the gym, and it's still in the same place where it was in the basement, and will always be there. And you know, he did so much for people, including myself. Somebody back then, it was more problem kids, to get them off the street was his whole idea. But that was the purpose, to get people off the street and get them on the right track, which he did, and he did it greatly.
I'll let you run here in just a second, because I know you got to head downtown, too.
I'm good.
You know, someone like yourself who has done this for as long as you have and have made the impact that you have and have provided longevity, and honestly, there are probably countless people who appreciate you from all age groups, youngsters, teenagers, adults, thankful for having you just be even a part of their life ever so slightly. It's not easy to reflect and kind of, you know, give yourself a little pat on the back or anything like that, but have you in your life now maybe been able to take a step back and be able to realize and appreciate and embrace what you've brought to this community in this sport? Because you really have done a lot.
Sometimes I do, but it's a day-by-day thing for me, you know. It's just what I do, and it's just the way it is. Like I say, I don't know what else I would do if I didn't do this. I'm glad I'm here. I didn't make a ton of money. I didn't make it with the pros, but everything fell into place where I was totally lucky for the things that I got. I was totally, the things I did was priceless. You know, the money was money you just spend, but what I did was priceless. I got lucky to be with the right people, and everything fell into place, and I'm definitely happy for all that and appreciate it.
Danny, we appreciate you stopping by. Thank you so much for sharing some more about all of this with us. And we appreciate you for being a community game changer.
Well, thank you very much on that. And now that's Ziff with one F, if anybody's interested.
BTL is back after this.